بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 13th of January in the year 2022 and moving on to another very important aspect in the believer's life and that is with regards to character. So to begin with, sincerity is indeed the bedrock in the believer's life. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 128, Abu Abda al-Anbari, rahmatullah alayhi, said, when the Muslims alighted in Madain and collected the spoils they had captured, a man came forth with a basket and handed it over to the collector of the booty. The people who were with the collector of the goods said in amazement due to the amount he had brought, we have never seen such a thing before. Whatever we have gathered is neither equal to the thing he brought, nor is it about the same amount. So stop in the report. So it's after the campaign, and the people are collecting the spoils, like the Mujahideen. But as they were collecting, a man does the opposite. He comes with such a huge amount in a basket and he put it towards the spoils. So the people who were gathering, they said, all of what we're gathering, he's brought more. They then asked him, have you taken anything from it? He replied, listen, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I had not been afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not have brought it to you in the first place. So they actually said that you brought such a huge amount. So obviously, satanic thought, he must have taken a big chunk for himself. He goes, astaghfirullah, he goes, if I didn't have any fear of Allah, I would have brought nothing to you. The people thereupon understood that he was a man enjoying a particular privilege. Thus they asked, who are you? He responded, I will never inform you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you do not praise me, nor then inform anyone else that he may then praise me falsely or truly. Rather, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am content with the reward from him. When he left, they sent a man after him until he reached his companions. When the pursuer inquired from his companions, they found out that he was Amr ibn Abd Qais. Rahmatullahi. He was Amr ibn Abd Qais. So when they asked him, they realized he was a very pious man. He goes, I'm never going to tell you. And then this is why. Now look at the deep knowledge he had. He goes, if I inform you who I am, you'll praise me. And I don't want that praise. Because you can't praise somebody you don't know. Then he said, and if I tell you, you may tell somebody else and they'll praise me. And they've never even seen me. He goes, rather, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am happy with him. I too reward me. So then they made investigations and they found out he was Amr ibn Abd Qais. So again, unfortunately, due to our lack of knowledge, we don't know who that is. Hafiz Abu Nu'im in his Al-Hilya mentioned about this man. He was the first to be known as a hermit amongst the Tabi'een in Basra. He was the first to be known as a hermit amongst the Tabi'een in Basra. He learned the Quran from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, and he was one of Uwais al-Qarni's companions. So now, so this is why you need to know who these people are. So who was one of his teachers? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So what do we know about him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he's been given one of the tones of Dawood alayhi salatu wa sallam. He has a beautiful voice, recorded in Sahih Bukhari. He was also the governor of Yemen And he was made governor of Basra and other areas. Great companion. He was his student. He learned the Quran from him. And he was a companion of Uwais al-Qarni, the famous Tabi'in who didn't come to the Prophet because of his mother. So look what he's imbibed. What has he imbibed from his teachers? Sincerity. Look, you know, he goes, he was scared to death. He goes, I'm not going to tell you. Who are you? He says, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, this righteous soul was acting upon the command of our beloved messenger. Which command? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Avoid mixing obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love for being praised by his servants, lest your deeds get ruined. This is in Dailami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 1567 or 1-223. So the Prophet warned us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, you obey your Lord, you do a good deed. He goes, don't combine that with a desire to be praised by the servants. He goes, that will ruin your deed. So think about it. Think of a great deed, a small deed. You shouldn't have in your heart a desire that people praise you for it, because that ruins the deed. So what was the Prophet warning you about? It has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, a companion once asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where lies salvation? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for a servant not to engage in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a view to public recognition, there lies salvation. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad 5-428. Think about that. Salvation means you go to paradise, you're forgiven. Ultimate success. Where does that lie? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you worship without any desire for public recognition. Think about that. So how is that easy to get out of your heart? You know, a person goes, oh, no, I know I need to be tapped. I get happy when people say, you got to get it out of your heart. It has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates, radiyallahu anhu, a man asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm used to undertaking some deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, I like to have people see my deeds. I.e., is there thus anything wrong with this double intention? The Prophet remained silent. Very interesting. Then Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse. In Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, verse 110. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَبَدًا. Whoever expects to meet his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, let him perform deeds of purity. And thus, in the worship of his Lord, admit no one as partner. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 6583. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 2481. Sahih. Zahabi, Sahih. Targhib, number 21. So let's look at this. So what very intelligent question did this Sahaba ask? He goes, I am used to this. This is my nature. I do a deed for my Lord. But at the same time, I like people to see my deeds. So he's not doing riyah. He thought he wasn't doing riyah. He goes, look, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when people, because I get happy over that. He goes, is there anything wrong with that, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet remained silent. And Allah Ta'ala himself answered him. And what does he say? Whoever expects to meet his Lord, meaning, if you truly believe you're going to meet your Lord, let him do pure deeds, and in the worship of his Lord, admit no one as partner. Meaning, you associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deed has to be for him. Similarly, our beloved messenger also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Kanzul Omal, number 6053, or volume 3, page 75, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bestows the world for the intention of the hereafter, but he does not bestow the hereafter for the intention of the world. Subhanallah. Look how interesting that is. So you're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the hereafter. Allah ta'ala will give you the world. Where's the proof, sahaba? Do you honestly believe Abu Bakr to ask for the world? Ya Allah, give me the world, make me the ruler. Allah ta'ala gave him because he was after akhirat. But if you desire the world, the Prophet said, no chance you'll get anything in the akhirat. So what's the point? The Prophet basically, what's the point of that? And going back to the previous narration, the last verse of Surah Al-Kahf was revealed because of this. And what does that surah protect you from? Fitna. Right? What's one of the greatest fitna? It's not Dajjal. Everybody thinks about Dajjal when you think of Surah Al-Kahf. It's Riyah. The Prophet said, I fear for you something even more than the Dajjal. Riyah. To associate in your deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as in Ibn Majah, and Surah Al-Kahf is a proof of that. The last verse is reminding you of that pitfall. Allah ta'ala left the greatest warning at the end of this surah. Meaning, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala will, if he wishes, expose the sincere deed of yours. But as shown from our perspective, one must not desire this when performing one's deed. The deed must purely be for his sake right from the onset. So there's a difference. This is a trick of shaitan. He'll put into your heart, you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look forward to the day when he's going to get exposed. He's got you. The scholars say, no, you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must not desire this, that your deed becomes exposed. That's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you understood? So when the Sahaba, we learnt about their deeds, tahajjud, zikr, they didn't desire for us to know. That wasn't in their hearts. Allah ta'ala exposed that. But if you from the onset, when you're doing your deed, are saying to yourself, yes, people are going to find this. Allah ta'ala is going to expose it. That's also wrong. So note, is it an easy subject to deal with? And the answer is no, you need to have knowledge. Simply put, the key to the best of both worlds is sincerity. But if I made that statement at the beginning of the talk, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. The key to the best of both worlds is sincerity. How true as always were the words of our beloved messenger when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a good intention makes a person enter paradise. Subhanallah. A good intention makes a person enter paradise. This is in Kanzul Omal, number 7245, or volume 3, page 169. Now, what's interesting about this? The intention doesn't have to be for the big deed. Think of a very small deed you can do. You know, they think, is that a deed? You even think, is that actually a deed? You put your heart on. Sunnah. Somebody goes, if you had a pure intention, that by itself can take you to paradise. So a person goes, well, I just put my hat on. The Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from the wording, you realize it's not as easy as you make think it is. Because you may think it's sincere, but there's something corrupting it. A good intention makes a person enter paradise. This indeed should not come as a surprise. Why? Because our beloved messenger also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the good intention clings to the arsh. Thus, if a person makes his intention true, then the arsh starts shaking and that person is forgiven. Subhanallah. Good intention clings to the arsh. Thus, if a person makes his intention true, then the arsh starts shaking, then that person is forgiven. In Tariq Baghdad, number 6926, or volume 2, page 443. Now think about that. The deed doesn't make the arsh shake because it's not sincere. The deed could be huge. It's not shaking the arsh because it's not sincere. Conversely, you may do a very minor deed, but it's absolutely sincere. The arsh starts to shake. And it will not stop shaking until you're forgiven. So go back to the previous report. Confirms. A good intention makes a person enter paradise. The power of sincerity. can also be gauged from the following amusing report related by Hafiz ibn Qudama in his Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, page 209 of the New English Translation. So he relates. A man used to go out wearing women's clothes, and he attended a wedding party where the women were, or he attended a place where women would gather, I to mix with them and to share the food. A pearl was stolen and they were screaming, "Lock the doors so that we can search." They thus searched every person one by one until they came to the man and another woman whom they held. So imagine, they've searched all the women and there's a man wearing the hijab and there's another woman. The man sincerely supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you save me from this shame, I will never do it again." Subhanallah, the pearl was found with the other woman. And they said, "Set free the free woman, for we have found the pearl." Subhanallah. He finally made a sincere dua. So this is recorded by Hafiz ibn Qudama in his Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin. So look how interesting that is. This man is committing major sins. Why is he doing it? Two reasons. He wants to mix with women and he wants to eat samosa. So Allah Ta'ala caused something to happen. Imagine lockdown. Only women, or so they thought, because somebody stolen a pearl. So one by one, imagine he's thinking. Numbers are going, coming, and there's only two left now, him and that woman. And he's thinking, "Oh my God, that bestie, please. If you get me free from this, I will never do it again." And the woman next to him, the pearl was found. So what does that tell you? A shaitan is making a sincere dua. What happens? Allah Ta'ala answers. Sincerity. So the lesson here is, don't underestimate the power of sincerity. But you have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali so simply and beautifully said, "Hide the good you do, but make known the good done to you." Subhanallah. Hide the good you do, but make known the good done to you. This is in the work, The Daily Reminder Network, 2014. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, what did he say? Look at how interesting. Because if you're going to make anything public, make public what's the good done to you. So you start saying, so-and-so, mashallah, you know, he's always helping me, and Allahu Akbar, he's always there, this, and so you're making other people's good deeds, exposing them. But you never mention your own. And who gave you the advice? Sayyidina Ali. Who's that? Radiyallahu. In continuation, so note, sincerity. This is all about sincerity. And what is mentioned, and you get so indoctrinated by the Quran, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. What's the next thing Allah Ta'ala says? وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds. Allah Ta'ala created you to do righteous deeds. For not righteous deeds. He created you for the very specific purpose. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. But Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. He created death and life to put you to the test and find out which of you does the most beautiful deed. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you to compete with each other in sincerity. That's in Surah Mulk. He created death and life for that reason. Imagine, there's no death. It doesn't just happen. If people say that, say, "Brother, go on Aqeedah course, you need to show your Aqeedah." Death doesn't just happen. It's a creation. And life doesn't just happen. That's also a creation. Because you need Surah Mulk. Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata. Why does Allah Ta'ala create those two fascinating creations? To see which of you does the beautiful deed. Who did the most beautiful deed? The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his brothers, alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the Sahaba. And what did the wolf say in the hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad to the shepherd? Because the wolf took a goat or a sheep away from the shepherd, and the shepherd started chasing the wolf. And he snatched the goat or the sheep off the wolf, and the wolf sat on his hind legs. And he said, "Why have you taken my desert away from me?" So the shepherd goes, "Subhanallah." He goes, "A wolf speaks." And the wolf goes, "Shall I tell you something even more amazing?" And then one of the things he mentions to that shepherd was, the people in the heavens are looking at the deeds of the companions in awe. The people of the heavens are looking at the deeds of who? The Sahaba in awe. What were they seeing? Sincerity. This man came to the Prophet ﷺ, because what is Islam? In Bayhaqi and Shu'ab al-Iman, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ikhlas. Sincerity. Meaning you haven't got that, Islam's like an empty shell. This has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he kept hammering, and if you look at the Quran, he keeps hammering that point. And people don't understand it. Those who do good deeds, where does it say that? Those who do good deeds, you're the problem, you mistranslate in the Quran. Those who do pure deeds, not good deeds. Subhanallah, that's a good deed, but is it pure? Right? That's what Allah Ta'ala is telling you to focus on, not the good deed, the purity. وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And who does Allah Ta'ala describe as Amilu Salihat in Surah Asr? Sayyidina Umar. That's interesting. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The righteous one. Subhanallah. And also in another report, the Prophet described Umar Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the major warrior. Because the major warrior will take over after Abu Bakr. Right? Why was he called the major warrior? So people go, "Oh, he was strong." No, he was pure. Of course, he was physically strong. We all know about that. Because we're fascinated by physical strength. But what about his purity? He was too pure. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding you of that of Umar radiallahu. Then, what other thing do we need to focus upon? The tongue. The following Arabic couplet encapsulates this point. So this is the Arabic. جَرَاحَاتُ السِّنَانِ لَهَلْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ الْلِسَانِ. You can see the beauty. Now dead English. The wound by the sword heals, whilst the wound caused by the tongue does not heal. The wound by the sword heals, whilst the wound caused by the tongue does not heal. جَرَّاحَاتُ السِّنَانِ لَهَلْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرْحَ اللِّسَانِ. Somebody gives you a sword, as long as you don't take your head off. If he strikes you, you will probably survive. You'll recover. But the couplet says, if somebody harms you with his tongue, that doesn't heal. So what was he saying in the couplet? The tongue is destructive, more destructive than the sword. As Muhammad ibn Nadr Harisi so simply put it, rahmatullah alayh, honor is lost on talking excessively. Honor, veneration is lost on talking excessively. Recorded by Ibn Abi Dunya in his As-Samt, Mawsu'a, number 52, volume 7, page 60. So think about that. You cannot, you're not even sinning, you're just talking. So this righteous predecessor said, if you talk too much, you lose honor. Now that's interesting. I'm not even committing a sin. Why am I losing honor? Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that. It's actually a hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the people on the day of judgment, he goes, "Now you have heard my voice." And that actually made me laugh. Why? Because have you heard Allah Ta'ala's voice? One of the prophets. On the day of judgment, he goes, "Now you heard it." So that's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the owner of majesty and glory. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Does he talk much? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honor is lost on talking excessively. And that's without sin. So what if you combine sinning with it? To be fair, indeed, this is not an easy task. So nobody can say to you, this is easy. Malik ibn Dinar, he said, rahmatullah alayh, protecting the tongue is more difficult for the person than protecting his wealth. Protecting the tongue is more difficult for the person than protecting his wealth. Recorded by Hafiz Zabidi in his Ithaf Us-Sadat, volume 9, page 144. Look how a person guards his wealth. Where's your wealth, brother? Brother, may Allah forgive me. I'll put it in a bank. I know there's problems, but it's safe there. Then you go, but do banks get robbed? Yeah. But there's insurance. May Allah forgive me. My money, I'll get it back. What about your tongue, brother? Where's that? The guy looks at you and goes, what are you on about? He goes, which bank have you put the tongue in? He goes, bank of the tongue. He goes, brother, you've confused me. Protecting the tongue is more difficult than for a person than protecting his wealth. Look at the effort you've made to protect your wealth. No effort on the tongue. And it needs more effort. It comes as no wonder to learn that our beloved messenger therefore said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-samtu sayyidul akhlaq. Silence is the head of all morals. Silence is the head of all morals. In Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 3850, or volume 2, page 417. Now, akhlaq is character. What's the head of character? The peak. Silence. Somebody goes, what is easy? No, it's not. If it was easy, we'd all be saying it. Right? You have to learn how to stop talking. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-samtu arfa'ul ibadah. Silence is a worship of a high virtue. This is in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 3849, or volume 2, page 417. So, arfa'ul means high, it's a high worship. Now think about it, it's a negative, but it's a worship. I'm not doing anything. Somebody says, I'm doing ibadah, brother. And you're sitting there like that. What ibadah are you doing? No, but it's ibadah. Not only is it ibadah, it's a very high ibadah. The guy goes, are you contemplating? No, nothing. He's not talking. Because how is that ibadah? He doesn't even realize. That's ibadah. Not just ibadah, head of akhlaq, of a high virtue. In another report, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the person to remain resolute on silence is better than 60 years of worship. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 4953, or volume 4, page 245. A person goes, so if I remain silent, it's better than 60 years of worship, not equal. So one of the scholars said, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, in Mirat ul-Manajih, volume 6, page 361, if someone performs 60 years of worship, but he also talks a lot, and he does not differentiate between good and bad conversation, then it is better to remain silent for a while. Why? For in silence there is contemplation, rectification of the nafs, immersion in divine realities, recognition, the diving into the ocean of internal dhikr and muraqibah, contemplation. So let's break it down. So this Shaykh Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullah alayhi said, he's commenting upon the hadith. If you do 60 years of worship, meaning a lifetime of worship, but you talk a lot, so you do 60 years of worship, but you like jabbering, and you don't know the difference between good and bad speech, it would have been better for you just to remain silent. That's the meaning of the hadith. Why? Because when you're silent, other things activate. One is contemplation, and it's true. If you're sitting in a gathering and people are talking, what do you start thinking of? You just start thinking of the people. He likes talking. You know, what's he talking about this for? You're just talking to yourself. Why is he wasting his breath on that? Rectification of the nafs. You start thinking inwardly. Thinking, I need to sort myself out, you know, and waste my breath, and you know, but so immersion in divine realities. You start thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Diving into internal dhikr and contemplation. That is the meaning of that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The learned Shaykh was expounding also on Sufyan al-Thawri's words, rahmatullah alayh. Prolonged silence is the key to worship. Prolonged silence is the key to worship. This is in Ibn Abi Dunya in his As-Samt, Mawsu'ah, number 437, or volume 7, page 255. Look at the wording, Sufyan al-Thawri from the Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in. He goes, if you don't talk for long periods of time, Allah Ta'ala has given you a key. And that key is ibadat. So if you're struggling with your worship, stop talking. That's what he was saying. It'll help you in your worship. As no other than our beloved messenger so simply put it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man samata najah. Man samata naja, the one who remains silent won deliverance. Subhanallah. The one who remains silent won deliverance. This is in Tirmidhi, number 2509 of volume 4, page 225. You won the race, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you remain silent. So let's look at Abu Bakr Siddiq. What did he say about this? Radiallahu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, ah, if only I had been dumb, but privileged to speak to the extent of doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ah, recorded by Hafiz Mullah Ali Qadi in his Mirqat, number 5826 or 10-87. Abu Bakr Siddiq, the greatest of men after the prophets, he goes, I would have loved to have been dumb, so I couldn't speak, but with one condition, that I could speak to do dhikr. He goes, I would have loved that if Allah Ta'ala had put me in that condition. Now be honest, would you be like that? If you said, Ya Allah, make a dua, Ya Allah, please make me dumb, but allow me to do dhikr. You never made that dua. Why? Because you like talk. You know better than Abu Bakr. And what was Abu Bakr doing with his tongue? Radiallahu. In fact, one hadith in Tirmidhi, he's holding the tip of his tongue. And Umar sees him. He goes, have mercy. He goes, you're forgiven. He goes, you do not know where this piece of flesh has taken me to. Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu. And look at this, I'm alright, I've cracked it. Thus it would not come as a surprise to learn that the companion said, radiallahu ta'ala, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ طَوِيلَ الصَّمْتِ. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would observe prolonged bouts of silence. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would observe prolonged bouts of silence. Recorded by Hafiz Baghawi in his Sharh al-Sunnah, number 3589, of volume 7, page 45. So now think about this. Rasulullah, he's ma'asoof. Allah Ta'ala is protecting him from sin. He can't use his tongue except for good. So a man who cannot use his tongue except for good didn't speak much. So what is that? There's a secret there. A person goes, hang on a minute. It would have been better if Rasulullah spoke more. No, it wouldn't. The one who can't sin, Allah Ta'ala is protecting him. He didn't speak much. So what's your excuse? So now, to give this to finish, there was a companion called Abu Musa al-Ashari. No, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, radiallahu. So this is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman. And he went to a place called Ar-Rabada, middle of nowhere. So somebody was traveling that way, middle of nowhere, goes into the masjid, which is, you know, probably a traveling masjid. He goes in and he sees somebody wrapped up in a black cloak. So the man shocked, he's thinking, who's here? He looks and he recognizes Abu Dhar. And this is the words that come out of his mouth. Ghanima. So what does ghanima mean? Anyway, I'm sure it's a word in Urdu.
Blessings.
Ghanima means spoils. What a prize. Right? Linked to blessings. But it's more to do with winning something. You've won. Ghanima. Spoils. So even before moving on, what was the Tabi'in teaching you about Sahaba? When you're in their company, you can't lose. He's not even spoke to him. Then he asks, he goes, oh blessed companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you here by yourself? So he said something very interesting. First he looks at him, think, as if to say, like, where have you come from? Then he says, to be alone is better than being in bad company. And to be in good company is better than being alone. To remain silent is better than to speak uselessly. And to speak good is better than to remain silent. Then he says, Ma'as-salam. And the Tabi'in went, Walaikum salam. And then he passed that on to us. So why was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari by himself? Because I don't want, the company's affecting me. I need to protect my iman. Why was he alone? Because I only speak when I need to speak. He was acting upon everything the Prophet told him. Tabi'een came. He knew he was sincere. He gave him. He didn't give him a bayan. This is the problem with us. We give bayans and you forget 90% of it. He gave him 4 facts. Live and then you'll be successful. And Abu Dharr, of course, was just like, you know, his example, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said in Tirmidhi, authentic, there has been no one under the sun or on the surface of the earth who is more akin to the zuhd of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam than Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Meaning Christ won't speak much. Everybody thinks he's going to come and start doing bayans, right? You just have to look at him. Next minute, what am I doing? What's he doing? Alayhi salatu wasalam. So all we discussed today was 2 things. One was sincerity, the bedrock of our deen. And you need to keep on fine-tuning it, keep purifying it, because that's the purpose of your creation. Allah Ta'ala created you for this. And secondly, then I talked about the tongue. And if you can control those 2 things, inshallah, you're on the way to salvation. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله